talk about this morning, remembering Jesus. And you know, we're at this time of Easter, and I thought that as I was doing this message this morning, or as I was preparing this message, you know, it's before Easter. And I'm going to be speaking on remembering Jesus. We wouldn't typically do this until after Easter, but I want to tell you this morning that every day, 365 days a year, we should remember what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Jesus gave his life so that we could have eternal life, so that our sins could be forgiven, and that we could be presented to God as a pure bride because of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. We should remember Jesus all the time. So yes, it's before Easter, but I want to tell you this morning that we need to spend some time remembering Jesus. And our main focus point this morning is going to be Psalms 92. But before we go into Psalms 92, I want to read you a passage out of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Now, we was talking about the Lord's Supper the other night. You know, typically we do the Lord's Supper every fifth Sunday. And we need to make sure that we do that. We have been lax in that somewhat. And we don't need to be lax in that. We need to do it. But we don't only need to remember Jesus when we have that special occasion. We need to remember Jesus every day when we break bread at our table. We need to remember what he's done for us. We need to remember the price that he paid for our salvation. So this morning, even though we're not partaking of the Lord's Supper, let's remember Jesus. Number one, we need to be remembering Jesus in worship. Remembering Jesus in our worship. Verse 1 of Psalms chapter 92, 1 through 3, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound." We must give thanks continually. Not on Easter. Not on Christmas. Not on New Year's. Not on any other special day of the year. We must give thanks continually for what God has done for us. Psalms 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." There shouldn't be a time when anything happens in our lives that we shouldn't recognize the fact that God has allowed us to be in the position that we're in. The Sunday school lesson this morning made me think as I was studying the Sunday school lesson, you know, my mind, we were talking about kind of an inquisition, but my mind went to an inquisition of, and I shared this in Sunday school, of sometimes when they question a pastor. You know, you feel like sometimes you're in an inquisition. You go before a church and they're thinking about calling you. They have this question and they have this question. And sometimes the churches will be saying, "Well, what have you done in your previous churches?" And I was thinking as I was studying the Sunday school lesson, what have I done in my previous churches? Folks, I want to tell you this morning, I did nothing in my previous churches. I did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
The only thing that happened in my previous churches was a result of the power of God working through me. What did God do in my previous churches? That's the question. That is the right question. The answer is God.
Amen.
Good story.
God. So as we bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I got up this morning. When I woke up this morning and I took that first breath, praise God, I was on the green side.
Amen.
When I get up and go to work in the morning, as much as I dread going back to work, praise God, I got a job.
Amen.
I have a home to live in. I have so many things, and there's so many things to bless the Lord at all times. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Man, what an encouraging word. To know that there's nothing. You know, the Bible tells us, Isaiah says, "All my righteousness is but filthy rags." There's nothing in me that is good. Paul said, "There's none good, no, not one."
Amen.
The only thing good in us is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. The only thing good. We should rejoice in His perfect creation at all times. Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Always. Continual thoughts on our mind. Continual rejoicing in our hearts for the things that God has allowed us to do. We should dwell on the good and the perfect things that He has bestowed on us. I mean, sometimes, don't you ever just look back and you think, my, my. What has God allowed me to be a part of?
Yeah.
I have a saying that I sometimes say. I just can't believe what God is doing, and I just can't wait to stay on the ride and see where He takes me.
Amen.
It might be a roller coaster, and there may be some ups and downs, but I want to tell you, when God comes through and does something and you just stand there with your jaw hitting the ground, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Instead, we want to get down in the mouth and we want to concentrate on the bad stuff. We want to be out roosting with the chickens. And we should be soaring with the eagles.
Amen.
I mean, that's what God has allowed us to do. And it goes on in the verses that we read in Psalms. We must sing the songs of worship and praise. The second part of verse 1. Isaiah 38:20 says, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." Again, singing praises. We spent some time singing this morning.
Amen.
We like to sing around here.
Amen.
And I hope that all those songs went up as a sweet savor into the nostrils of my God. Psalms 138, beginning in verse 1, "I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises to Thee." And that's a little G. Okay, notice it's a little G there. "Before the gods will I sing." I don't care who knows it. Okay, all you naysayers, boy, I'm going to sing the praises of God, and I hope you hear it. "I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of my mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we just get so far down, we feel lower than a lizard's liver.
That's low.
Pretty low.
And we feel like there's no hope for tomorrow. And God comes through and He raises us up. He mounts us up on wings like eagle.
Come on, then.
And we thank God, what in the world were we down in the mouth about?
Why
were we there? Because when we think that there's no other solution, God. Exclamation point. Even the birds, if you listen. Man, especially this time of the year, you go outside and you listen to those birds, and they're just singing like there's no tomorrow.
Come on,
and they have a heavenly Father who clothes and feeds them with a better array than the king of anywhere. They don't worry about anything. We must proclaim His loving kindness in the morning. That word loving kindness, that's such a loaded word. You know, God is saying, you know, we go to God and we say, we got our hand out. We always got our hand out to God. Stop and think about it. God, give me. Give me, give me, give me.
Come on.
Yeah.
And we go to God and we say, Lord, give me $100. But see, with God's loving kindness, He reaches in His back pocket and He says, here's my wallet. All my credit cards are in there. That's loving kindness, see. That's goodness. It's the kindness of God. It's the faithfulness of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the favor of God. When we find all these things in God, that's His loving kindness. That's His loving kindness that makes a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham kills the sacrifice and puts it on the altar and splits it in half. And usually when you have a covenant, both parties will walk through the pieces. But God in His loving kindness puts Abraham to sleep and God walks through the pieces. And God says, this is what I'll do. That's His loving kindness. We must show His faithfulness. Verse 2 goes on, each night. You see, He is faithful to do what He has promised to do. You know, God cannot lie.
Story.
He can't. And so what God has promised in His Word, that's what He's going to do. It's all going to come to pass.
Yeah.
It's all going to happen just like He said it was going to happen. So you see, God was faithful to come and live as a man. He came and lived on this earth as a perfect man. He was sinless. He was faithful to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. He was faithful to rise again on the third day. He was faithful to send the Holy Spirit as a comforter, which He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. He is faithful to save all those who seek Him. He has said that He will come again. And I want to tell you, as I'm standing here this morning, brothers and sisters, He's faithful. He's going to come again. He's going to split that eastern sky right wide open When God says the time, son, go get my children, it's going to be time to go. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed.
Amen.
And we're going to be gathered up together.
Thank you, Jesus.
As we're looking toward Jesus, let us remember him in our worship. But not only as we're looking toward Jesus, remembering him in worship, we also need to remember Jesus through reflection. Remembering Jesus through reflection. Verses 4 and 5 in our Psalms passage. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
Yes.
Man. By his works, by the things that he has done, we are given pause to rejoice. We have received and will receive the benefit of his works. We look at that passage again where it says, O Lord, how great are thy works. Can you think of someone that you thought the Lord would never save? And God just took them and cleaned them right up.
Amen.
Dusted them off. Set them straight. Got all the mud off of them. And they proclaim in the name of Jesus. Have you seen anybody that was sick and the doctor told them they were going to die because they had cancer? And God come along and just did a work? You see, God does all these things, and even sometimes when he don't heal those people, we can still see God at work.
Yes.
God is always at work. So when we say, O Lord, how great are thy works, let's ask ourselves, God, how great are your works? Listen, no matter what you've done, God speaking, no matter what you've done, I'm ready to forgive. God, how great are your works? No matter how many times you fail, I still see your potential. God, how great are your works? I created the world and all it contains.
Come on now.
God, how great are your works? I continue to work in your life every day, perfecting you for the day when I will appear and take you home.
Come on now.
How great is his works? Magnificent. Wonderful. Indescribable, unfathomable, incomparable. He goes on, how deep are thy thoughts? He looked ahead in time and saw our need. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
I've got to tell you, that just blows my mind. Listen, his thoughts are so deep that when he created humanity, he looked ahead. When man sinned for the first time, God looked ahead. When he destroyed the world by the flood, God looked ahead. When his thoughts are so deep that when he gave Moses the law on the tablets, he looked ahead. When Israel rejected him and he sent them into captivity and allowed the temple to be destroyed, God looked ahead. His thoughts are so deep that when the angels announced his birth, he looked ahead. When he prayed in the garden, not my will but thine be done, he was looking ahead. When he was arrested, he looked ahead. When he was beaten and humiliated and spit on and treated so roughly, Jesus was looking ahead. As he hung on the cross and he suffered and he tried to get his breath and he would stand on the cross and he would collapse and he would begin to suffocate and begin not to be able to get his breath, and he would use every strength that he had to stand up straight again and get that breath of air in. And then as he would grow tired and he would come back down, he would begin drowning actually in his own fluids.
Wow, come on, man.
And as he was going through all that pain, he looked ahead. When he laid in the tomb, he looked ahead. As he defeated death and he rose again, Jesus Christ looked ahead. His thoughts are so deep that as he ascended into heaven, he looked ahead. And as he sits on the right hand of the Father, he still looks ahead. In all these situations, he looked ahead and saw this sinner. He saw me. And he saw you. As the Bible tells us, he knows us by name. He knows us by name when we were in our mother's womb.
Come on.
The Bible tells us that he named all the stars. The Bible tells us that he knows when a sparrow falls from the limb of a tree. He did all these things and he looked ahead to us. And he looks ahead to his second coming so that where he is, there we can be also. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus looked ahead? Aren't you glad that he did all these things because he loved us so very much? So as we remember Jesus in worship, and as we reflect on all the things that he has done, we also need to remember Jesus as we realize God's justice. There is justice. Now sometimes we may not like it, but God is just and must punish sin. We read on in verse 6 of our psalm. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that riseth against me. Listen, one day we can rest assured that the wicked are going to be judged. You know sometimes how we think, and we can't help it. Well, we might could, but we don't. We think, well, how come they're out there living like the devil?
Amen.
And they act like, and they seem to be so blessed.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got this good person that loves the Lord, and they get killed in an automobile accident. How come? I mean, we ask ourselves this question. I mean, we might as well be honest.
Amen.
I mean, we do. We question God. But this passage tells us, and other passages in the Word of God, that God is just, and that one day the evildoers are going to get what they got coming to them. Now, we shouldn't rejoice in that. That should sadden us. It should make it to where we want to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ all that much more. But we can rest to know that one day the wicked are going to get those. Satan and his bunch are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. They're the wicked will be judged. They're too caught up in themselves to see. This verse here tells us that they think that they're so smart, but they're fools. I think what he's trying to say is that they're blooming idiots. They receive their reward now. Anything good that they have happen, you know, yeah, I'm going to go out and build me bigger barns. Boy, I'm so smart, look at me. I'm rich. I can't do anything wrong. I'm going to go out and build me more stuff so I can hold all my stuff. And God says, thou fool, tonight will thy soul be required of thee. They're so blind. Whatever reward they get now, that's it. They shall be consumed by the wrath of God in the end. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. But on the other side of that, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God will be exalted, verse 8, forevermore. Forever and ever. When we've been there 10 million years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begin. Because it's forever. He will triumph. His kingdom will be eternal. He will give us victory. We sang the song this morning, victory in Jesus. That victory comes from Jesus. He's going to give us the victory.
Right.
We will share in His eternal kingdom. This gives us encouragement to go on day after day after day. When sometimes we think we can't go on, we need to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and say we have victory in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
We can rest assured that our enemies are going to be crushed. Satan, he's not going to escape. Sin is not going to get by. Our prosecutors, those who persecute us, are not going to escape. One of two things are going to happen. They're going to get it right, and they're going to be forgiven, or they're going to be judged. So we remember Jesus in worship, reflect on the things He's done, remember that He is just. And fourth and last, remembering Jesus as we live out our heritage. I'm not sure which of these is more important. Verses 12 through 15 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing.
Amen,
to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him.
Amen.
Listen, as a child of God, we are to flourish.
Amen.
We're not to be in a constant state of pity party. We've been adopted. We're children of God. We've been chosen specially. We're to invite our acquaintance into the kingdom. Listen, if we had this big old house, we would probably want to be inviting people in to look, if nothing else. I hope that wouldn't be our only purpose. But listen, we got the chance of a kingdom that is indescribable. We got a chance at a place. We have a reality at a place with streets of gold. Why in the world wouldn't we be out trying to invite folks to get in?
Come on.
And this is one way we produce fruit. We produce fruit as we abide in Him. According to John 15:4-5, it says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, you can no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Listen, if we're attached to the vine and we're good and healthy and we're getting the nutrients from the vine, we have no choice. We're going to produce fruit.
Amen.
Now, if we get some kind of sickness or disease, and we receive a separation from the vine, then we're going to do nothing but die and shrivel up. Those with whom we share will rejoice with us in His goodness. Listen, as Christians, our lives can be sweet testimonies to the constant presence and provision of God. What has God done for you? Nobody can tell others what God has done for you better than you can.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we think we have to have this big memorized speech to tell others about Jesus. All we have to do is be able to tell what God's done in our life.
Amen. Amen.
This is where I was. This is where I am. And God did it.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's remember Jesus and worship. Let's remember Jesus through reflection. Let's remember Jesus as we recognize His justice. And let's remember Jesus as we live out our heritage. That's who we are. We're called Christians. That's our heritage. Let us remember that the Lord is upright. He is our rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. Let us remember His words in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how You speak to our hearts. We pray right now, God, that You would speak. Lord, these are Your people. This is Your church. Father, hopefully You have spoken through me. But Lord, the work is up to You. Lord, I feel I've been obedient. What happens from here forth is on You. Thank You that You are so wonderful and that You're so full of loving kindness. Father, thank You that You allowed us to be here this day. Thank You again for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. As we have a time of reflection, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're all going to bow our heads. We're all going to close our eyes. We're going to have a moment alone with God. There's going to be no music. Just you and God. What would God have you do today? When He tells you, don't wait. Get it right. Right now. Anyone else? Amen. Thank you so much for your attention this morning.
been wonderful. I believe that we heard from God.
Amen.
And God is always on time. He's always on time. Let's join him.